Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm so here, and I'm so here for this lovely spring day. I feel like a little flower, then getting the sunshine, and I'm gonna bloom. I'm happy about weather. Yeah, that's how it is. All right, so today we're gonna talk a diverse array of subjects, including women, pork loins, and limpa bread. So I've started. Remember last week? I was all like, what are you doing with rye in your lives? And everybody texted in a frenzy saying, limpa, limpa, limpa. Well, I tried to start getting into this whole limpa situation, in which I learned that a lot of people think that limpa is a sweet bread, like a raisin bread, and a lot of people think that limpa is a savory bread, like a rye bread. So now I am even more confused than I was before. So I need you to text me at 81807 and tell me what limpa bread is supposed to be, you know, to you. I don't care about what it is definitively, but like, how did you grow up with limpa? What do you think limpa is? If your grandma made limpa, was it a sweet or was it a not sweet experience? We're going to get to this at the end of the show for the Ask Me Anything, because I'm asking you anything. The last thing you expected, what does this mean? What is this? What is the Minnesotan American, the Scandinavian American limpa experience? What is it? Because I literally don't know. And also no experts know, because I talked to a bunch of them this week. Many different things. So let me know what is going on. 81807, text me or tweet me at Dear Dara, or Facebook message me, as many people prefer to do. I am Dara.Grumdahl on there. Those are all the ways. All right, so we're going to turn back from the great limpa controversy of 2018 to, guess who's here? It is Kristen Lee Charlson. She's the new president of the group, the Women Chefs and Restaurateurs. They are having the big national conference right here in Minnesota this year at the Hewing Hotel in North Loop. It's coming up in a little more than a month, April 21 to 23. I'm going to be on a panel. Lydia Bastianich is going to be involved. Kim Bartman is the president. She's the person here in town who owns the Bryant Lake Bowl and Pat's Tap and so many other places. So Kristen Lee Charlson is here to tell us about the conference, about the whole situation of being a lady in food in America today. We're going to find out why we Minnesotans really need to get on board with this conference. All right, Kristen, welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Dara. I'm excited to be here.
I am excited that you're here. All right, first off, let's just big picture it. What is this conference? What's going to happen?
Well, this is the 25th anniversary of Women Chefs and Restaurateurs, also known as WCR. And it's exciting that the conference is going to take place in Minneapolis, because traditionally it's the coasts and Chicago that get these conferences for our national, actually international, members and attendees. So we're really excited to have it in this market really be able to highlight and show off the culinary talent, the beverage talent that we have in this region. But even more importantly, this is a conference to educate, support, inspire, and connect women in the industry.
So that connecting, that's a big thing. Obviously, yeah. A lot of everything in life is relationships, and it's hard. You know, you don't have an old boys network if you're a young woman. How do you make those connections that are going to get you forward? There's a lot of free work that happens in restaurant community, the staging or, you know, getting, which is when a chef goes to another restaurant and kind of works for free and gets to see how things work. Valuable lifelong connections are made in those stages, not just with the chef that owns the restaurant, but other people on the line, and they may end up places and they may have openings. It's hard to do, but it can be daunting if you're just a young woman working the line in Eau Claire. You're like, how do I get out of here? How do I meet some people? And so this connecting is not, it's not just like a phrase. It's more than that.
Oh, absolutely. So, yes, there will be high-profile women in attendance there. Our opening keynote is Carla Hall. Past presidents include Elizabeth Faulkner. And Lydia was actually one of our founders. But even more so, this is a real place for women in the industry to connect and to support each other and to have the opportunity to leverage their careers by the connections that they make. I mean, it's the real deal. It's there's plenty of time and opportunity for a word that I don't always love to use, networking, but that it's a shared experience. It's an opportunity to be together around a common theme. And so that is really a profound possibility for people who attend.
So talking about those relationships, you were telling me that you do something else here in town called plugins. What are WCR plugins?
Yeah, not to be confused with a pop-up. we do these all over the country in areas, towns, cities, and regions that have a collective of members. But what they are is an opportunity for members or potential members to connect to each other ongoing. So we try to do them monthly. They could be as simple as light bites and cocktails and things like that, or there could be an education component. But even more so, it is an opportunity for women to be in front of other women in the industry and feel supported and heard.
So is it how do you find out about these plugins? Is there a Facebook group? Is there a get on a mailing list? How does it work?
We do have them on our website, womenchefs.org. And at the same time, we put them on the Twin Cities WCR Facebook page. And then we have an e-news list, you know, that goes out. And our members stay connected that way and see other opportunities, whether it's for the plugins or scholarships or other events that are coming up.
So let's talk about who qualifies in this universe of women chefs and restaurateurs. So I know from talking to Kim Bartman that it can also be general managers or hosts of restaurants. Give me some other categories that you might not immediately think like, oh, a host is a restaurateur.
Well, really, it's women in culinary, food and beverage. It's farmers to fishermen.
Ooh,
to
farmers.
Well, we're in food. I mean, we should be talking about the full spectrum of who touches our food and how we think about connecting to all of them. And it's also other women entrepreneurs who support.
And one of the best fishers in Minnesota is a woman. There's a husband-wife team up in Tofty.
These are the things I'm learning. But it's a great opportunity for even women in business, bankers and attorneys, and to support women in culinary because, you know, you try to start up a business, whether it's a restaurant or it's pizza dough, you know, maybe it's a product, a value added.
So it could be restaurant brokers. It could be
restaurant real estate. It could be companies that create equipment. I mean,
our small candy makers. We've got so many
connections across the board.
Okay, interesting. So just anybody who wants to kind of test the waters, you could do these plug-ins. I'm always getting asked by aspiring writers how to do this, so I think that might be good for them as
well. Absolutely. Food writers, for sure.
Let's get back to the basic conference. So what happens at this conference?
So we'll kick off Saturday night at in the North Loop with a champagne toast welcome reception. And then we've got an event at the Textile Center called Artists in the Kitchen, which is pairing 50 artists with 50 different people in food, women in food, to create a collection of inspired work. But then the real meat starts on Sunday morning. Our entire day on Sunday is at Aria, just a couple blocks from the Hewing in the North Loop. And we will kick off that morning with our opening, Carla Hall, and then we will move quickly into a panel discussion around the Me Too moment. And throughout the day, we'll have different panels and speakers that will be emphasizing our theme, which is Women Speak, Curating the Future of Food. So we will also have lots and lots of food. And what's exciting about the food is that the female chefs and females in culinary in this region will be the ones who will be preparing that food for us. So they will be able to be highlighted and showcased from breakfast all the way through our opening night party, which is also at ARIA.
Okay. So so there'll be all these different panels. I know I'm doing a social media panel, and then you were telling me in the green room that kind of you've connected almost all the female chef owners in town, or a lot of people will be presenting and involved in some way.
That's correct. So some of them will be involved by providing food and bites, and others will be involved by using their voices and being on a panel. Or the second day is full of education sessions, and we incorporate local women as well and women from across the country to be leaders on those workshops and demos, et cetera.
So when you say education, is that like learn to bake a loaf of bread, or is this learn to do a balance sheet? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so it crosses the spectrum of education. So personal and professional development, as well as culinary knowledge and demos, specific demos. So for example, we've got a panel that is women curating a healthy planet and what does that look like from the soil to our own bodies, as well as on point Belgian chocolate uses, sweet and savory, like what's the hot spot out there right now, sustainable seafood and oysters, beer pairings, and implicit bias.
And implicit bias. All right. That's a good. So let's talk about that. So obviously Me Too has been a big roiling force throughout the restaurant industry this last year. It's taken down some very prominent chefs, Mario Batali in New York and John Besh in New Orleans. We have evidence, ample evidence of just a hostile work environment for a lot of women in the industry. They go to work and they're groped and chased and chased out, and it's horrible. And there's no two ways about it. But what is going on with Me Too? I know that you will be having a lot of discussion about that. Did I hear that you're creating a policy at the conference, a Me Too policy for women chefs and restaurateurs?
One of the things we're doing at the conference is that we have a recent partnership with Grubhub, who has launched a campaign to support women-led, women-owned restaurants during the month of March.
Oh, sorry, I'll let you cough there. So during the month of March, Grubhub is going to do something. But is that really? So they're getting involved in the Me Too movement?
So what's coming out of that is they are encouraging diners to dine in or take out from women-led, women-owned restaurants during the month of March. That's tier one. Tier two is that they are populating a national map of women-owned, women-led restaurants online so people can search. Number three is that they are asking male and females in the industry to take a pledge to lead, listen, empower, et cetera. And part of our relationship with Grubhub is that we will start the building of that leadership toolkit in real time at the conference with conference attendees that would like to be part of the conversation.
Oh, that's interesting. So if I'm sitting on my couch listening to this and I am just chomping at the bit to actually make a difference, this is the place to do it?
Absolutely. This is the place for your voice to be heard and celebrated and to be able to connect with other voices and build off of that and banter. And it will be quite the thing of the moment and be pushed out to be used across the landscape.
All right. So then we should talk about the fact that this is in Minneapolis. We're really looking for support from all the cities around here, all the people around here, the region. We're hoping that Milwaukee and Madison, Duluth and Des Moines, that everybody will kind of take that weekend off, come here and get together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like our coastal representation doesn't really know what is going on in the heartland and in the Midwest. And it's not on their radar. And there's so much happening here, from agriculture all the way to putting things on the table and celebrating amazing successes, even with our James Beard nominees. So I think we really need to have a strong representation from the region to support the conversation.
All right. I'm going to want you all to come on out. We're going to take a break here for some commercials. Then we're going to come back. We're going to talk to someone who actually has been benefiting her real life with WCR. That's Carrie Summer of Chef Shack. We'll talk to her when we come back. We'll have some more time with Kristen Lee Charlson from the Women Chefs and Restaurateurs Group in a minute here on WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Dara here, happy as a Minnesotan in springtime. Isn't the sun just feel different today? You know it does. It's got that little zip of warmth that it didn't used to have. Even if it's 38 degrees, so what? It feels good. It's a good 38 degrees, not the bad 38 degrees. All right, so I've still got Kristen Lee Charlson here. We're talking about the gigantic, enormous, huge, impactful WCR conference is coming here. That's Women Chefs and Restaurateurs. And I have on the line New York City, where Carrie Summer, one of the owner leaders of Chef Shack, she has been benefiting in her very own life from WCR. Carrie, thanks for being
here. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Hello from Brooklyn.
Yeah, so you're out there doing fancy networking?
Yes, trying to continuing my education and my studies of finer cuisine and service and hospitality and dining about. It's been a while since I've been out in New York, so yeah, taking advantage of that before season.
Yeah, you've got a couple of weeks before the farmers markets and all the Chef Shack trucks are out.
It's coming quick. Spring's right around the corner. I think we'll be out in the food trucks next week, folks.
Next week? Oh my!
So.
How many trucks are going to be out this year?
One full time. I think we'll keep it at that.
Oh really?
Yeah.
You've gone off the multiple truck method. All right, so that's not important. Tell us about WCR in your life. You've been involved with this for a couple of years.
Yes, Lisa and I really got quite active about 3 years ago. We've been to a number of conferences all around the country. And it's just been super great for us to double down on our career and invest in continued education. But most of all and most importantly, it's been just superb for networking and meeting new friends and making connections. It's been just so great.
So who have you met? What have you done?
Who have I met? Oh my God, where do I start? East to the west, anywhere from Gabrielle Hamilton, Lydia, quite a lot of male chefs also in the Midwest. Gosh, I can't think of any names at the moment. I'm sorry. West Coast, Nancy Silverton, of course, Dominique Kren, Elizabeth Faulkner is always at any WCR event.
And so how does that work? So then if you meet these people and then you have a question, you know, you're wondering, how do I do this? How do I leap forward? Then you can shoot them an email.
Definitely. I correspond quite a bit, via email if I have a professional inquiry. And sometimes I get people on the horn, you know, live. And, of course, I just always see people in other cities. So, yeah, there's always an opportunity to ask questions. And, you know, it helps Lisa and I not feel like a bobber in the ocean of management and restaurateur land. Definitely. It's so great.
So obviously,
friends.
It's difficult being a pioneer, as you and your partner, Lisa Carlson, are. You guys started the Chef Shack. You have the Chef Shack Ranch. You were the first food trucks in the Twin Cities. And then you have a brick and mortar and you have Chef Shack Bay City. But the thing about being pioneers is that nobody's done it before. You're not following an established path. It's not like going to dental school and then becoming a dentist and then everybody knows what you're doing. So is that kind of why you know, WCR is so valuable for you?
Yes, it is. My life was eminently more simple when I was a line cook for other creative endeavors. And running a restaurant is really so multifaceted. And it's every restaurant is very unique to their demographic and their neighborhood. And it's always kind of an ever-evolving sort of discovery, and I've definitely had to reach out to other mentors. Brenda Langton is one of our most cherished network colleagues in our city. She's been in the business 40 years, folks. She really has it quite dialed in and has great advice. So we're always seeking out others who share a similar lifestyle to ask questions of how to navigate certain things, definitely.
Because a lot of women I've noticed do not want their restaurant to follow the other paths that have been blazed before. I haven't met any women who are trying to. Well, I shouldn't say to any women. Some women are not trying to create Champs or a Buca di Beppo. They're trying to do something that's more kind of shaped to their lives. I'm thinking about and their values. I'm thinking about Brenda,
sure.
The way she's founded Mill City Farmers Market and
has
her restaurant really networked into there. And so what she wanted was a sustainable, healthy food system and to model that. And so the typical investors and, you know.
Right.
100 tables, that didn't work for her. That's not what she wanted. And
I think her current restaurant is about 80 seats. It's pushing 80 to 90. It's pretty sizable. Also, Tracy Singleton, just got to give a shout out to her. She's been in business a really long time.
Yeah, she has the Birchwood Cafe and Seward.
Birchwood definitely reflects her values, and she's a perennial favorite in the neighborhood. And she's a go-to when we need advice also. Lucia, certainly in our town. Got to just really give props to her as a longtime chef, restaurateur, hands-on chef. She's been amazing.
And those are all women who kind of pioneered their own particular business model and did their own thing. And so what I'm trying to get at here is that there is a value to talking to people that are doing
definitely
different things, sort of all in the same vein, though. I mean, it's we talk a lot. Us ladies about work-life balance, and it is an ever elusive idea because what is life for everybody? It's different things for some people. It's making kids work in the mix. For some people, it's having farms and nature. I mean, some people it's having dog-friendly patios. You know, so because there are so many different components of a life, because there are so many different types of people, it's hard to do. And so I feel like. Women are not not eager to go into the cookie cutter so much. Maybe that's a cliche, but
so yes, the conference is coming up the latter part of April 2021 and 2022. It's usually a Sunday and a Monday, so industry people can attend. It's usually at a hotel, and there's quite a lot of programming that's very interesting. From
we have Kristen
marketing, and
we have Kristen Lee Charlson here, and we've been talking about the conference.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hi there.
So I wanted to get you, Carrie, on to just talk about how it's what it means in life to actually have had this experience. So I think you've sold it pretty well.
Yeah, thank you.
Hopefully I will see you there.
Forward to it. Yeah.
All right. Well, have fun in New York. I'm very excited.
Have a nice day. Spring is coming.
Are you going to bring back some pastrami to serve off the truck this year?
We'll see.
All right. I'll see you in the truck in a week.
Have a nice
Thank
day.
You, Carrie, from Chef
Cheers.
Shack.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's
thank you.
Thank you. That's it's good to hear what it's really been like in life. I've talked to Kim Bartman too, who also has talked about how she's been able to call up people and ask questions.
Yeah.
You think, oh, that's someone. She's a powerful figure. She's got 9 restaurants. Does she need to call up people and ask questions? Yes.
Right.
All right. Well, Carrie, we're going to say goodbye to you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your Brooklyn experience for us.
Certainly. Thanks for asking. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
See you real soon.
See ya. All right. And then, Kristen, you have any last words you want to leave the people with? Oh, I have some last words I want to leave the people with. So I want everybody, this is your homework. If you know a woman in food, I don't care if it's a restaurant broker, a wine distributor, a baker, a candlestick maker, somebody in food, let them know about this. We have to really represent. We have to make these New York and California chefs that are all going to come to town know that we care about food in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, absolutely. So just a couple of things. We would love to have regional representation, as we've already talked about, and we will be offering a 50% discount on the registration. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, that's some breaking news.
Yeah. So it's kind of a secret, even though we are on the airwaves.
It's not a secret anymore. It's,
I guess not. But yeah, don't tweet it yet. My email is Kristen, KRISTEN, @womenchefs.org. I encourage anybody in this region who's interested in participating or knowing more, just to contact me. And if you want to be on our list to participate and to know when this 50% discount comes down.
All right. Yeah. Everybody who works at Land O'Lakes, you work at General Mills.
Absolutely.
Get involved.
Absolutely. And our membership is only $25. So please join as a member. That'll get you that 50% off discount as well for the conference. But also just subscribes you to the greater collective voice of the organization.
Yes. Do that for yourself. Build your career. I will see you there at Women's Chefs Restaurateurs Conference in Minneapolis, April 21 to 23. This is a big deal. I feel that Minneapolis is having just a international spotlight this last year, which is good for us. But we got to go out there and show them that we're here, raise our voices.
Yes, we need to show them that we can bring it. So let's do it.
All right, let's bring it, my friends. Also, you can bring me your tales of limper bread when we come back, because I only got one response yet telling me what limpa is. The question has been, is it a sweet bread like a raisin bread? Because I've heard that from some people. Or is it a savory bread like a rye bread? You text me, 81807, and tell me what your experience of limpa bread is. And then we must say goodbye, sadly, to Kristen Lee Charlson from WCR. And I will see you at the conference.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on today.
Thank you. Dara here. Oh, I am happy you're filling up the message stream, the little text line, with your limpa experiences. So the idea is that I want to know is that last week everybody said what they do with rye flour is they make limpa bread. And then I started calling around and I started finding that the different bakeries around here all do limpa differently. Some do it sweet, some do it with zero sugar, zero sweeteners. And then I was talking to a baker, and she was telling me that it's become a Minnesota vernacular food, not so much a Norwegian food anymore. It's a food that developed here from its Swedish or Norwegian roots, and so it's something else. The same way Italian American food is different than Italian food, limpa bread is now different than whatever it was 150 years ago, because culture evolves and changes. But I really do want to know from you what limpa is in your life, and because it's a growing, living thing and living in your lives. All right, so the recipes. I got a request for a favorite pork loin recipe, and I thought I'd put together five. You know how I roll. That's what I always do. Number five, as we count down, it's going to be a little honey thyme roasted pork tenderloin. I know a lot of people get very confused between the pork tenderloins and the pork loins. This is for you pork tenderloin people. You know, one is more the thin, kind of the filet mignon of pork. The other one is the big old whole thing with the fat cap and everything delicious. So the first one is a very simple. You're just putting honey and thyme on a tenderloin. You could get this done pretty fast. Very nice. Number four, a basic pork loin roast. So this is just one of my absolute favorite things. You get a big old pork loin and you just roast it first at high heat, then at a lower heat till it's all done. And that crusty bit on the top, that is what I live for. So I've got that. We have a new website. Have you seen the new WCCO website? It's very snazzy. These are all up on the new website, not the old one. All right, number three, the little ginger fig pork loin. So I like those all Christmas flavors, the ginger, you know, allspice all together. It just makes the house smell so good. So this is that. We were talking about Lydia Bastianich before. If you want like a thing to serve to company and show that you're a good cook, she's got a very simple pork loin stuffed with prunes recipe that just, it looks so fancy. It looks like you're just a genius. Those are some of my favorite recipes, as you know, because I like the big bang for the buck. And then my number one, little April Bloomfield, celebrating those women chefs, her oven-roasted pork loin wrapped in colpa. So that's a kind of Italian ham. So those are just beautiful, beautiful recipes. Those are all up at the new WCCO.com website. And we come back, we are going to just limpa it up. I want you to tell me what limpa is to you. Is it sweet like a raisin bread? Is it frosted? Is it as just a rye bread with some allspice in it? No sweetness at all? 81807. Fill up this text line. Limpa Madness at WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, Dara here. It is the time of the show where we do the Ask Me Anything. However, I've flipped the script, and I've asked you anything. Here's how this all started. Last week, we talked about grains, and I asked you what you do with alternative grains, the different grains, and everybody said limpa. And then I realized, have I ever had limpa? And I started looking for bakeries, calling around, talking to different bakers in town, and I discovered, lo and behold, we have a whole living limpa situation here where it means different things in different families. And that's just, you know, that's natural. It's like your great grandma somewhere along the line had an idea, and then that's, you know, and then that builds, and that's beautiful. That's culture. So here's what I've heard. So I've been wondering if the main limpa, or if what the limpa thing, like, is it sweet or is it not sweet? Is it a raisin bread? Is it, you know, sweet, no sugar whatsoever? So here's what you're saying. I got a text that says, or just having limpa bread toasted with Skippy peanut butter. Delicious, but it is not a sweet bread, and Hannish Bakery in Red Wing makes wonderful Swedish limpa bread on Fridays. So that's interesting. So there's one not sweet. And the next text we got is Swedish limpa is a rye bread with fruit in it, sometimes with a glaze on top. The bread itself isn't sweet, but the fruit or glaze gives it sweetness. So this is interesting. So the glaze, because sometimes this glaze grows into a frosting. This is a true thing. I've seen it. All right. So then we've got another text. My uncle's side were Norwegian and ours was Swedish, and both made limpa bread. My experience was a light rye bread with just a touch on the sweet side. And this is from Dan. He's got a double, got the double, the mixed marriage of the Norwegian and Swedish family. This is the thing, with a little bit of molasses. I've read a bunch of recipes for limpa at this point, and some of them go full brown sugar. Some just stick with molasses. And obviously, molasses has some sweetness, not tons. Next text. A Swedish limpa is a dense rye bread flavored with molasses, caraway, and anise. I would call it a savory, as my husband's family serves it with thin sliced ham and mustard. That's from Alice in Zimmerman. Alice, that is very interesting, because one of the bakers I talked to said that if I haven't had toasted limpa with Easter ham, I'm leading my entire life wrong. And, like, that's the perfect bread. All right. Thank you to everybody that texted in with this limpa situation. I'm going to put up something at Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine this week on limpa bread, because I'm just so interested in everything. I found a couple places in town that always have it. Taste of Scandinavia. And then Swedish Crown up in Anoka is a bakery that I talked to them. They said, oh, we have limpa bread, but you got to call and reserve yours because it's so popular that it sells out. And I was like, oh, so now I have to get to Anoka at the crack of dawn so I can get a limpa bread from Swedish Crown. So look for more on that. And I appreciate everybody's. I think it's interesting that some people have a frosted with fruit and raisins and even orange, candied orange. And then some people go in a completely dry direction. It's fascinating to me. That's what qualifies as fascinating in my life. All right. So what else is going on here in the Ask Me Anything? I got a question about a way to get a food truck to do burgers and fries at a dad grad a son's high school graduation. So there are a couple of food trucks in town. There's the Butcher Salt food truck. That's a good one that'll come park in your driveway and make burgers and fries for your family. Or the Home Sweet Home food truck. That's a good one. I would say if anybody's thinking about getting a food truck for a graduation event, start booking them, because they are going to fill up. They can only do one, one party at a time. And obviously there's only a very few of those graduation weekends. So if you're thinking about doing that, getting one of those food trucks, start looking, because it's kind of fun to just have a food truck in your driveway. You don't need special permits at most places, I don't think. And then, you know, the whole mess just happens with somebody else, and the shopping happens somebody else, and people just go outside and get things. Not every food truck can do French fries, and not everybody can do a good burger, as we know. All right, so next week we're doing something new. I will have a guest who runs an organizing service, and she has been pitching me and telling me that you can organize your refrigerator and your pantry and your life will be better. I have my doubts. Can life be organized? I don't know. My experience seems to be that, you know, all of a sudden you have 1,000 jams. You can't put anything in the refrigerator. Is that how everybody's life goes? I don't know. All right, I hope that you have some good St. Patrick's Day plans. I hope you're I hope you're just got all kinds of happiness. I know a lot of people, my mom sent me pictures of her Irish soda bread that she made. It made me happy. I also know a lot of people that have taken advantage of the sale corned beef. That's a good way to run this weekend. I hope that you are having a good one, whatever it is, and I will see you here in this exact place next week on Off the Menu.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.